Let me start out by asking you all a question. Brethren, how can you and I draw closer to God? We can do that by making use of the power tools that God gives us of prayer, Bible study, and fasting. And we can also use a fourth tool, one that sometimes is forgotten a little bit or overlooked, but one that's still very important. That's the tool of meditation. This morning, let's think about meditation, what it is, what we should meditate about, how to meditate, and when to do it. Now, many, when they think of meditation, they think of the Eastern style of meditation with its emphasis on removing all thoughts from our minds. But that can be a dangerous practice. The Bible warns us that if we try to have a blank mind, clean our minds completely of all thoughts, we can open ourselves up to deception and possession by the devil and his demons. Today, I'd like us to focus on a different type of meditation, biblical meditation, or what some refer to as reflective meditation. Reflective meditation involves thinking deeply about what God is trying to teach us and learning more about his way and his will for our lives. Why is reflective meditation important? It's important because we need it in order to gain understanding. Psalm 49 and verse 3, let's go over there to start out with. Psalm 49 and verse 3 tells us, "My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall bring understanding." Meditation is important because it's important to God. God wants us to meditate on the right things and in the right way. Psalm 19, he wants us to have the same attitude as is stated in Psalm 19 and verse 14. That's Psalm 19 and verse 14, a Psalm of David. Verse 14 tells us, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We should always remember that God is watching us and he's listening. Let's read that over in Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 16 through 17. That's Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Then those, and this is my wife Elsa's, one of her favorite verses, and it is a good one. These are great verses. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." Now, brethren, our thoughts obviously are not God's thoughts. Sadly, far from it at times. But we should strive to be like God and think like he does. And that includes thinking deeply about things at times, meditating on them. The Bible tells us that we should capture every thought to the obedience of Christ, as we're told in 2 Corinthians. So that emphasizes the importance of controlling what we think about and thinking deeply about things. So I think you can see from all this that meditation is very important. So the next question is, okay, meditation is important. What should we meditate about? What should we be thinking about? Well, let's explore that next. In general, here are some things, according to the Bible, that we should consider and meditate about. We can and should meditate and think about God's nature, about his word, his will, and his way, his name. Think about God's kingdom and what it will be like, the wonderful works of God. We should also meditate on God's commandments. Psalm 1 and verse 2 tells us that God's law should be our delight, and we should meditate on it day and night. We should also remember and think about the example that Jesus set for us about his teachings and about his sacrificial love, especially with Passover coming up very soon. We should also consider our ways in contrast to God's ways and see how desperately we need God and his help. We should think about deeply about our ultimate destiny. We should think about the needs of others and how we can help them. And think about the wonderful examples of the saints, faithful Christians who went before us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 summarizes what we should meditate on. So let's go over there next. That's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4, 8 tells us, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." In other words, we should try to think about uplifting things, things that are inspiring, that motivate us, that encourage us, things that are helpful and useful. If I can give a few personal examples of things that sometimes I meditate on that have been helpful to me. On my drive into work most days, in Mooresville, I know most of you might not be familiar with that, but I take Highway 150 to Highway 21 South to 77 South. And as I get off Highway 150 and turn and go up the ramp up to the overpass to go over 150, I come to a stop sign that's facing due east. And on certain days of the year, as a matter of fact, about a week ago this happened, I came at the perfect time. The sun was just starting to come up. The sky was aglow with beautiful colors of orange and gold and pink, and it was just awesome. And other days, there's big, fluffy, white clouds silhouetted against an azure sky, and it's just a beautiful painting, a landscape that, like no other art, no artist or photographer could ever capture. Maybe you can think of scenes in your mind, too, maybe at Jekyll Island or Panama City Beach, just beautiful scenery of God's creative artwork. Well, I'd love to just stop there and stare at the sunrise for a while, but usually there's cars behind me, so I have to move on. But as I travel on, I continue to think about God and his awesome artistic ability. It's just amazing, and it helps me to get in a positive mood and praise God for what he does. Another good thing to think about sometimes is to think about things of good report. One example of that recently that comes to mind, and maybe some of you might not be familiar with this gentleman as much as those of us back in Charlotte, but Mr. Fred Barton, who died recently. Mr. Barton set a tremendous example of service. When in his older years, before his health declined, he was always looking for opportunities to serve and help others. It was just very inspiring. For Elsa and I, a couple times, he came over one time and helped us install an attic ladder in our house. Another time he came and rototilled our garden for us. We didn't ask him to do those things. We just mentioned that was something we wanted to do in the near future. And he said, "Oh, well, I can come over and help you." So he just volunteered. It was just amazing. And it wasn't just our family either. He was always helping the widows whenever they needed a hand. He gave rides to people, countless people, many I don't even, not aware of, but of the ones I'm aware of, there were plenty. He also was very generous with his time. Whenever we had a social activity, he was there. Mr. Barton was there. Even one time we had a kite flying event for the little kids, Mr. Barton was there. He was there for just about every social activity. And he was also generous, supporting various members and charities too. So meditating on the good examples of people like Mr. Barton can be very encouraging and motivating to us. So that's another wonderful thing to meditate on, the examples of other believers. The good examples. For other ideas about what to meditate on, All we have to do is look in the Psalms. The Psalms are full of real-life examples of what to meditate on. They show what was on David's and the other psalmists' minds at that time. They're a combination of poetry, meditation, song, and prayer. And the writers reflected on what they were going through. Think about all the trials that David went through, for instance. And the Psalms describe his feelings at the time. Sometimes he felt overwhelmed. He felt under attack. He was fearful from the enemies. He expressed his need for God and for protection. He thought about and meditated on the nature of man versus the nature of God, and the desire to see justice done and the righteous blessed. The Psalms also focus on God's ability to save and our need to remember how God intervened on our behalf and on behalf of many others in the past. The ultimate fate of the wicked and the righteous. God's loving kindness and mercy. And they focus on God's greatness and the many reasons we should praise and thank him. With the Passover coming up in the near future, you know, it'd be good to meditate on Jesus' sacrifice. And Psalm 32 is also a very good psalm to think about. Think about God's forgiveness and mercy. It's good to read that at this time of the year. So let's read that together. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, a psalm of David, a contemplation, as it says in the title. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Selah is an interesting term. It's a musical term, which means pause or rest, but has a dual meaning, which also means pause or rest for reflection. Take time to think about what was just sung or said. And we should do that. Take some time to think about what the Bible has to say. Think about how blessed we are to be forgiven, to have God's forgiveness. And if we don't repent when we should, how it can eat away at us. Continuing with verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah, meditate on this. How quickly God will forgive us of our sins if we come to him and confess our faults and sins to him. He's ready and willing to forgive us. Verse 6, for this cause everyone who's godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of deliverance. Selah, meditate on this. Yes, we shouldn't put off coming to God. We should pray to him and seek him. And as other verses tell us, we will find him if we seek or search for him with all our heart. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. David certainly gives us a lot to meditate, doesn't he, in Psalm 32. And in his other psalms, there are many different things that he has us meditate about. Many of the wonderful work, including the wonderful works of God. Recently, as was brought out in messages and announcements and in the news media, there's a planet parade going on. I don't know how many of you heard that term. It's just a very unscientific term, which just means in the dark night, you'll be able to see all the planets at the same time. And it's not a lifetime, once in a lifetime event, but it is somewhat rare and a rare occurrence. Usually on, or rather when if it's not a cloudy night, you should be able to see all of the planets, especially if you have a telescope or a binoculars. Some of the planets are a little dim. And some of them, like Saturn and Mercury, hang very low to the horizon. So just as the sun sets, if you want to look for them, you would need to look in the west and look for them fairly quickly after sunset, because they are setting also, just like the sun does. So the best time to see the planets was in February, late February, but it does extend into March for a few days. So there's still opportunity to see the planets. Venus is one of the easiest ones to see. It's very bright out there. But looking at the stars is not just for our day and age. David liked looking at the heavenly bodies too and meditating on the meaning of life. Let's read about that over in Psalm chapter 8. As you can tell with the subject of meditation, we're talking a lot from the Psalms today. Psalm chapter 8, and we'll read verses 3 through 6. That's Psalm 8, 3 through 6. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. You know, David might have been recalling when he was a shepherd boy, and he was out in the field looking after the flocks. Maybe at night, too. I can envision him laying on his back, looking at the luminescent moon and the glittering stars, and getting a glimpse of the heavens, just thinking how small man is compared to the vastness and greatness of God's creation. And probably that led him to wonder, why does God even bother to deal with mankind? We're so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And yet, he was inspired by God to add that God made man to have dominion over all the creation. I'm not sure how much stargazing you've done in your lifetimes, but as a boy, I like to go out with binoculars and telescope and look at the stars. Especially I like looking at the moon. But growing up in the suburbs with the ambient light from the local community, it was hard to see things very clearly sometimes, until one time I got the chance to go out into the country on a dark, moonless night with no clouds, and I was just blown away, inspired by the Milky Way. I'd never seen the Milky Way like that. So if you ever get a chance to do that, maybe you live in the country, some of you, but and see it every day, but if you don't, go out in the country sometime on a dark, moonless night, clear night. It's just awesome. Looking at the heavens can inspire some deep thinking and meditation and praise for God. Now, it's fascinating that the writer of Hebrews, most likely Paul, picks up where David left off with the same meditation, this contemplation of man, God, and the heavens. So let's continue looking into this meditation by turning to Hebrews chapter 2. That's Hebrews, second chapter. We'll pick it up in verse 5. Hebrews 2, beginning with verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that you take care of him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So Jesus is the foretype. And meditating on all this can help us in understanding why Jesus came the first time and died for us, and our ultimate destiny in God's kingdom. Brethren, as you can see, there are many, many things that we can meditate on, think more deeply about. And the Bible encourages us to meditate and use the minds that God gave us as he intended. And the Psalms are a good place to find things to meditate about. Now, we can and should meditate on things in life. Meditate about problems and challenges we face. It's good to consider the different options we have available to us and consider the root causes of our problems. But I've noticed something about the Psalms. I wonder if you all have noticed this too. I've noticed that, you know, in a typical Psalm, a Psalm starts out describing some challenge, some problem that the psalmist is facing. Maybe an enemy is attacking. Then they go on to mention the need for God, a call for God's deliverance, for help in this trial, this problem. But you know, the Psalms can't say 100%, but almost always they never stop there. They don't just stop at the end of the problem. Almost always they go on and end on a positive note, reminding the reader about God's greatness, his power, his mercy, his loving kindness, and thanking him for intervening, sometimes thanking him in advance for his intervention. And I think that's an important lesson for us too. Now, if we just meditate and focus on our problems, we can work ourselves up into a tizzy over them. But we need to remind ourselves about how God has prolonged our lives and intervened for us in the past and intervened for others too, sometimes dramatically. A recent example for our family is our son-in-law, Chris Packlow. Chris was diagnosed with COVID, swine flu, and strep throat all at the same time. And many of you prayed for him, and we appreciate it that very much. But the doctors told him to come back in 5 days, and everybody started praying for him, and he started feeling better almost immediately. When he went back to the doctors, they tested him, and he was negative on all three conditions. And the doctors were astounded that he got better that quickly. But we know God heals, and God answers prayers. So when we meditate, we should try to think of encouraging things like that too, and not just dwell on problems all the time. To set our minds in the flesh, only thinking about physical things is death, we're told in Romans 8:16. And Colossians 3:1-2 tells us that we should set our minds on things above and not on things on this earth. So the positive things of God should be our focus. And we should try always to end our meditation with thanksgiving and praise. Now, so far, we've considered the importance of meditation and what to meditate about. Now let's, in the remaining time, briefly think about when should we meditate? When is a good time to meditate? To everything, there's a season, and there are times when not to meditate, just as Mr. Preston pointed out to us not too long ago. If and when we are called before councils and judges for our beliefs, then that's not a time to be planning out what we're going to say. We need to rely on God, as Jesus tells us. Rely on God to inspire us, to give us the words and the thoughts at that time. But you know, that implies that normally we should be doing the opposite. Normally we should be meditating. We should be preparing. We should be thinking about what we're going to say. But in those unique times, we need to trust and rely on God alone. Also, another time when it probably would not be a good idea to meditate, at least too deeply, is when we're operating heavy equipment. And then also, or if we're focusing in on some critical task that needs to be done, we need to be concentrating in those times. By contrast, in the quieter, the less busy times in life, That's when we should take some time to meditate, to think about more deeply about what God is doing. It should be a high priority. When doing our meditation, it's best to find a quiet place away from the distractions of our cluttered and overbusy, fast-paced world. One of the best times to meditate can be at night, right before you fall asleep, or even in the middle of the night if you wake up, like I do often, in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep. That's a good time to meditate on things as well. Psalm 63, let's go over there. Psalm 63 has a little more to say about that. Psalm 63 and verse 6 tells us, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." And let's also look at Psalm 119 and 148. That's 119 and verse 148, which tells us, "My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." Another good time to meditate is when we're praying, but we have to maintain our focus and not let our minds drift off. We could also meditate when we're studying God's word. Read a passage and then think about, what does that mean? What are the implications of what we just read? You can also combine all three: prayer, Bible study, and meditation. You can read a section of scripture, ask yourself questions, pray to God, "Please help me to understand this passage more clearly." Ask God to give you insight, to give you encouragement, to give you correction, whatever he thinks is best. Brethren, meditation is a powerful tool that, along with prayer, Bible study, and fasting, can help us draw closer to God. Let's make it a priority to do more meditation in this coming year, this rest of the year, and especially now as we approach the spring holy days.